A reading from the book of Sirach. To keep the law is a great oblation, and he who observes the commandments sacrifices a peace offering. In works of charity, one offers fine flour, and when he gives alms, he presents his sacrifice of praise. To refrain from evil pleases the Lord, and to avoid injustice is an atonement. Appear not before the Lord empty-handed, for all that you offer is in fulfillment of the precepts. The just one's offering enriches the altar and rises as a sweet odor before the Most High. The just one's sacrifice is most pleasing, nor will it ever be forgotten. In a generous spirit, pay homage to the Lord. Be not sparing of freewill gifts. With each contribution, show a cheerful countenance and pay your tithes in a spirit of joy. Give to the Most High as he has given to you, generously, according to your means. For the Lord is one who always repays, and he will give back to you sevenfold, but offer no bribes, these he does not accept. Trust not in the sacrifice of the fruits of extortion, for he is a God of justice, who knows no favorites. Verbum Domini.
Deo gratias.
To the upright I will show the saving power of God. Gather my faithful ones before me, those who have made a covenant with me by sacrifice, and the heavens proclaim his justice, for God himself is the judge. Hear, my people, and I will speak. Israel, I will testify against you. God, your God am I. Not for your sacrifices do I rebuke you, for your burnt offerings are before me always. Offer to God praise as your sacrifice, and fulfill your vows to the Most High. He that offers praise as a sacrifice glorifies me, and to him that goes the right way, I will show the salvation of God.
Dominus vobiscum. Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Marcum. Peter began to say to Jesus, "We have given up everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Amen, I say to you, there is no one who has given up house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the sake of the gospel, who will not receive 100 times more now in this present age, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands, with persecutions and eternal life in the age to come. But many that are first will be last, and the last will be first. Verbum Domini. Our prayers continue to be with our Holy Father, Pope Francis, and on Sunday, he issued the text of his Angelus address, which he usually would give in St. Peter's Piazza, but because he's still in the hospital, he issued it from the hospital, in which he commented on Sunday's gospel about the beam in our eye or the fruit that tree will bear, good or bad, saying, well, how do we look at other people? And what is the fruit of our words that comes out of our mouths? But then he also talked about his own situation and how he is so grateful for the medical personnel that has helped him, how he feels held up by the prayers of so many throughout the world for his welfare, and that he too was praying for peace in the world, especially in those places ravaged by war, which he said even seems more absurd now. And then he concluded by an entrustment to Our Lady. Let us entrust ourselves with confidence to Our Lady. But some of the words that he said I wanted to especially use as my reflection today on the scripture readings, where he said, I feel in my heart the blessing that is hidden within frailty, because it is precisely in these moments that we learn even more to trust in the Lord. I feel in my heart the blessing that is hidden within frailty, because it is precisely in these moments that we learn even more to trust in the Lord. And perhaps he's reflecting on Saint Therese, who obviously he has devotion to. If you read his encyclical on the Sacred Heart, he quotes her a number of times. She who said that she really had no consolations, spiritual consolations, at the end of her life as she's suffocating from tuberculosis. And yet she said she could trust him more. She wanted to die of love of God. That's how she wanted to die. And so the Pope speaks about how in our frailty we can understand and we're brought really to a greater trust in God. He's all we got. But we also discover his providence in that frailty, in that particular need that we experience. And today's first reading from the book of Sirach speaks about a cheerful countenance, a spirit of joy, a generous spirit. This is how we are to give generously, because God gives so generously to us. And so we heard, in a generous spirit, pay homage to the Lord. Be not sparing of free will gifts. With each contribution, show a cheerful countenance and pay your tithes in a spirit of joy. Give to the Most High as he has given to you, generously, according to your means. And then this line, I've often said, you know, that our Lord is never outdone in generosity, and this scripture confirms that. For the Lord is the one who always repays and he will give back to you sevenfold. And now with our Lord's coming, a hundredfold. And so we can trust in the Lord. We can be generous. We can share what we have, because we don't have to just kind of grasp and cling and just provide for ourselves as if we're just all alone and we have no provident Father watching over us. That is so far from the truth. You know, one of my former professors, Father John Sayward, he's a pastor in England at Oxford, actually, and he wrote a wonderful book on the spirit of childhood. It's called The Way of the Lamb. And he contrasts the idea of Karl Marx, father of communism, with the spirit of childhood, someone like G.K. Chesterton. And so Karl Marx said this, and he quotes him in this book. A being regards itself as independent only when it stands on its feet. And it stands on its own feet only when it owes its existence to itself alone. And so is that part of what is behind the whole idea of recreating ourselves? Not receiving our life as a gift? The biology that we've been given? But now we've got to stand on our own feet. We have to owe our existence to ourselves alone. We create ourselves. That's really pride, really. That's behind all of that. But this child, a spirit of childhood, is saying, yes, I'm dependent. And that's freeing. Because it means that I do have someone, my Heavenly Father, who is providing for me, who's watching over me, who cares for me. As the Holy Father says, that I'm learning in my frailty even more to trust in the Lord. It all comes from him. And so John Sayward has this wonderful quote. He says, the proud man is too weighed down with self-importance to be humorous. So he's talking about the humor of the saints, a word that comes from humility, the same root. A proud man is too weighed down with self-importance to be humorous. In his own sad mind, he has displaced God as a support of the universe. And each day he has the gloomy task of putting the world on his shoulders. But the saint, in imitation of the self-emptying Son, is unencumbered by self-concern. So he can fly with the merry angels of God. The humor of saints is the humor of humility. And then he quotes G.K. Chesterton. Angels can fly because they take themselves lightly. This has always been the instinct of Christendom. Pride is the downward drag of all things into an easy solemnity. One settles down into a sort of selfish seriousness. But one has to rise to a joyful self-forgetfulness. It's easy to be heavy, Chesterton said. Satan fell by force of gravity. In fact, Father Sayward says that really, in his mind, the angels' fall was that they wanted to achieve their happiness by their own natural powers. It was a refusal of childlike dependence. And so there is a freeing thing to trust in God's providence, that we can be those that the book of Sirach describes, who have a cheerful countenance in our giving, a spirit of joy. Why? Because we're always going to repay. I call it the Trinitarian, always be repaid. The Trinitarian principle, God never gives in the three persons of the Blessed Trinity. One person's not giving to the other without receiving from the other. And it's the same way for us. who have the Spirit of Christ in us. We never give without it coming back to us. And our Lord says 100-fold even in this life, and eternal life in the life to come. You know, when Mother Angelica invested novices, this was the gospel that is read at the investiture of novices when they receive the habit. And so Mother loved to pause on two of the words in today's gospel. You're going to have 100 times mothers, fathers. And Mother would pause and look them right in the eye with persecutions. And eternal life in the age to come. In other words, be ready because, yes, there will be some hardships that will come along the way. That the entrance into novitiate, the receiving of the habit, is a beautiful, joyful celebration. But also there are going to be those trials that will come along. There will be those obstacles that need to be overcome. Why? Because we need to grow. We need to mature. And God allows them in our lives for that purpose, only for a greater good. But the joy and the blessing, the multitude of what the Lord gives to us is far greater, and eternal life. Now, I wanted to conclude with a remarkable talk, just a little portion of a remarkable talk that was given by Monsignor James Shea at the National Catholic Prayer Breakfast on Friday. I hope you got to hear that talk. If you haven't, you can find it on EWTN's YouTube page. But in that, he said these words, and he was referring to Ash Wednesday, which we begin, of course, tomorrow, the season of Lent, where the whole church is going on retreat. And it's a grace time for all of us to grow in our life with God. But here's what he said that I wanted to quote. He said, "We will not need the latest results of the Pew Research study to know that faith is alive." His whole talk was on this Jubilee Year of Hope. It was on hope, and one of the reasons for hope is that we do see the faith alive in people's hearts. And we don't need a research study to see that. He said, "Our churches will be filled to overflowing with people who are searching for hope, hoping for hope, wanting desperately hope." Our churches will be filled on Ash Wednesday, he said. That their lives can be different from how they were. That things can change. That reform of the inner person, repentance is possible and transformative. And he gave us an example where he was flying 2 years ago, and it was Ash Wednesday. And one of the stewardesses came and knelt down next to his seat there in the airplane. And she said, "Father, you know, I've been busy all day, and all day long I'm going to be busy, so I haven't had the chance to go to Mass. Did you by chance bring some ashes?" And Father Shea said, "You know, I'm not Father Boy Scout, but I did happen to have a little vial of ashes up in the upper compartment." So he said, "Sure." So he went up and he got those. And he imposed ashes on her as she's kneeling in the seat next to him. Well, by the end of that flight, he had imposed ashes on all the stewardesses, one of the pilots, and half of the passengers on that airplane came up, knelt down, received the ashes. And so what he was saying is that, yes, our desire to change, our hope for change is there. And we see that. We'll see that tomorrow as so many of people will come, and I myself too will receive the ashes. We're reminded to return to the Lord, that change is possible with God's grace. St. Peter said in today's gospel, Lord, we've given up everything and followed you. And the Lord points out that he is going to get so much more back. God is never outdone in generosity and eternal life.